is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, hello, dear friend. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to Bible Home Church today. What a beautiful day it is. Well, it's a little bit chilly outside, not much. But, you know, it doesn't matter what the season is when you have Jesus Christ in your heart. Well, that's the way it ought to be. And God has created all these seasons, and each one is different. And I love them all, don't you? And it just makes me feel good just to look outside. I know in the wintertime it gets a little dreary and you long for the sunshine. And by the end of the summer, though, you're sort of tired of those hot, hot days. And so it all varies, doesn't it? But I know this much. The Bible says that until Christ Jesus comes again, we're going to continue to have all the seasons just as we do now. A lot of people don't believe that, though, and they think through global warming or environmentalism, you know, problems, we're going to just ruin Mother Earth. But that's not true at all. We're going to have planting of crops and harvesting of crops, and the seasons are going to continue on just as they are, the Scriptures tell us. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Scriptures. In fact, we're going to be starting a brand new series. You know, this is a series that I preached some time ago, but I wanted to revive it because it is so vital. You know, I wrote a book called Dark Secrets of the New Age years ago, and in that book I had a chapter about Satan's plan for a one-world Bible. A one-world Bible. In fact, the United Nations has a sacred literature trust, a project designed to bring all of the world's religions and sacred texts together in one library. In fact, I believe it was Prince Charles of Great Britain who was one of the financial sponsors of this project. They said man needs to take advantage of the Hindu scriptures and the Quran of the Muslims and the sacred text of the Zoroastrians and on and on and on. And they were going to bring, they said they thought there would probably be throughout the human history, they could collect thousands of different sets of scriptures from various cultures and civilizations, even those existing today. And I thought, what a waste of money and evil this is. But it fit in perfectly with Satan's plan to poison and pollute God's holy word, and by doing so, bring together all of the religions and in unity, including all the peoples of the world. This is part of the last day's plan, the Mystery Babylon system of religion, politics, economics. Now, I wrote about it and I exposed it, and Sister Gail Ripplinger did a tremendous job in her book, New Age Bible Versions, and she gave me credit, and I appreciate that, just like I give other people credit. She said my earlier writing inspired her, but she went on and did, I think, an even better job in exploring this incredible area. I also wrote about it in my book, New Age Cults and Religions, and even showed a number had pictures of a number of false Bibles. But you see, it's one thing to tell people about the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scriptures, or the Quran of the Muslims, and for us to say this is the Holy Bible of the Christians. I have no problem, because there is no comparison. When a man reads the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. If the Holy Ghost is drawing that person, he cannot help but to accept Jesus Christ into his heart. This Bible has changed lives. Somebody wrote me recently and they asked me about the Gideon's organization. They're the ones that put the Bibles in the motel rooms. And across America, for many decades, when you go into a motel room, when you open up the little desk drawer there underneath the telephone, you could be assured there would probably, maybe, be a phone book, but there would just about always be a Bible. And it had a stamp on it that said, presented free of charge by the Gideons. Somebody asked me what I thought about that organization, and I said, what can I say? Praise God for them. How many people contemplating suicide have gone to a motel room with a gun, with a revolver, but just before doing the terrible act, they saw there was a Bible in that room, and they read it, and their lives were changed. I believe there must be hundreds in that situation. Many people unsaved, they're in some strange city on some business trip or going to visit someone, and they're with nothing much to do, and they open up that drawer, or they look on top of the desk, and there is a Bible. You know, I've heard a lot about motel chains are now ending this. They're saying, oh, we don't want to offend other religions by having the Christian Bible. That's sad. Because there is no comparison. There is only one Bible. And that Bible does not offend. It saves lives. And Jesus said anyway, woe to those who find the gospel offensive. Woe to those who are offended. When I hear a Muslim or somebody from another religion, an atheist perhaps even say, I'm offended by Christianity. I'm offended by the Bible. I say, you're in deep, deep trouble. Because Jesus said, woe, that means look out, you people who claim to be offended. In one sense, of course, the gospel is offensive to those who do not have the light of Jesus Christ. Because they're led by the devil, and he puts thoughts, foolish thoughts, into their minds of hatred toward God's scriptures. And so the devil would like to take the Christian scriptures and change them. It's not enough just to leave them there and to say the Holy Bible of the Christians is only one of thousands. The devil still cannot compete. In a cast of thousands, the Bible will stand out, the book of books. But listen, the devil says, the only way I can win this battle is to take the Holy Scriptures of the Christians and poison them, pollute them, start changing words, start changing sentences, start actually taking entire scriptural passages and even removing them, editing them, mangling them, twisting them. I got a letter, my friends, a newsletter from a Christian ministry this very week. I took it home and last night I was reading it. And I just shook my head. This man, he claimed to be a prophecy teacher. And he wrote me a letter and he says, Dear Tex Mars, I'm sending you my newest newsletter because I want you to know that you really need to understand about the man with the number 666 coming. He said, you see, Brother Tex, they're really not one Antichrist. They're going to be three. They're not just one beast in the last days. There's going to be three men who are the beasts with the number 666. I wonder how he got such an idea as that. So I read his newsletter, at least part of it. He started off quoting the NIV, the New International Version. Now let me just read to you, because I'm not going to read to you from the NIV, because it's a sickie. It's a bunch of trash. Let me read to you what God said about the Antichrist and that number 666. Revelation 13, we see it reads, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Now I want to emphasize, as I did to you again, the number belongs to a man. And his number is 666. One man. But this man quoted the NIV, and I can see his whole theology and belief in the Bible, in Bible prophecy, his understanding as a so-called prophecy teacher, and I don't know how many hundreds or thousands get this man's newsletter, but his whole teaching is based on the NIV's rendering or rendition of Revelation 13. And let me tell you what it says. Here is insight. You can calculate, it says, not count, you can calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number, and that number is 666. Now get the difference. In the NIV, it's man's, that means all of men, man's number. It's the generic number of all of mankind. And that number, the number of, I suppose, 6.5 billion, that's how many we have now on planet Earth, the demographers say, the population statistics experts, 6.5 billion. So that's the number of man. I suppose you could come up with a theory and say there's going to be 6.5 billion antichrists, if you want to carry it to its extremes. Somehow this man said, see, the number 666 doesn't belong to a man, it belongs to men in general. It's just man's number. And then he said, so realizing that it wasn't a man's number, I started turning to the Bible trying to find out how many men would have that number exactly. And he said, I figured out that there's three that are going to have it. So my friends start pinning the tail on the donkey. In fact, you need three donkeys. There are going to be three donkeys or men who have the number 666, according to this teacher. But how did he get that? Well, he used the NIV, he says. Satan has his way with that man's mind. Satan has his way. How did he do it? Now, that man probably goes out, and the next thing I know, I'm going to be getting letters from people. Dear Brother Tex, I just got a newsletter from so-and-so, and he's telling me that everybody's been teaching the wrong thing. These King James people have been wrong for hundreds of years. There's going to be three people with the number 666. Of course, the next guy could say there's going to be 36 people with the number 666. In fact, I can actually recall in my mind now somebody writing me a letter recently and saying the NIV says it's man's number. That means there's really not going to be an Antichrist at all. That's just like a metaphor. It's allegory saying men generally are wicked and therefore their number is 666. But there's not really going to be a man. So don't even think about the beast coming, the Antichrist, the counterfeit of our Lord Jesus. You see how Satan has polluted God's word? Now, we're going to be talking about this plan of Satan. But first, we have a song for you. This is a good friend of mine. And you know, this is the theme song, the introduction for Bible Home Church. Many of you have written and said, boy, how can I get that song? I love that song. Well, it's by Johnny Ray Watson. And I'm so sorry to tell you, this album is out of print. It has been for many years. This song is It's Beginning to Rain. I'm going to play you the whole song by Johnny Ray Watson. It's Beginning to Rain. And then we're going to go into what time we have remaining with part one of our series. And we're going to continue for a number of weeks now on Satan's plan for a one world Bible. Here's Johnny Ray.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees send the silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. hear the voice of our Father saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. Start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understand what he sees, for they dream their dream with the thrill of being alive. They reach for each other and they dance in the rain for the joy of the thing they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning. Stop the rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit upon it, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning. Thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Today we're going to be talking about a subject that I believe is the most important issue of our age. As a matter of fact, it really is the most important issue of any age. You see, the dispute over God's word began in heaven with a rebellion by Satan or Lucifer. It continued even on the planet Earth. You'll recall that in the Garden of Eden, as we see in the book of Genesis, for example, God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree. And yet, when the devil confronted Eve, he said, "Yea, hath God said that?" Did God really say it? Was that God's word? Yes, friends, God told the truth. He gave the word to Adam and Eve. But then came Satan with his questioning technique. And you know what? Eve fell for the lie. What was that lie? A questioning of the authenticity, the authority of the Word of God. Did God really say that? Said Satan. My friends, this is exactly what we have with the false new versions of the Bible and with the New Age plot and conspiracy to bring all of the false Bibles together to put out one corrupt New Age World Bible. This New Age World Bible, from everything that I've been able to find and discover in my research, will actually be the Christian Bible and the Jewish Bible.
Yes, it will look much like the Bible that we have right now in our hands. It will have the 66 books, maybe a couple more of the Bible that we have. It will maybe go by many different versions, such as the New World Translation, the New International Version, and others, the New American Standard, even the New King James, or the King James for the 21st century, which is another false version that recently has been released. Oh, it will look like the authentic God's Word, but it will be so perverted, so polluted, so twisted and mangled with key phrases and words and even passages of salvation cut out, removed, omitted, that it will truly be a one-world Bible of evil and deception. Now, God will always retain, however, for His true servants, His pure Word. No matter how much Satan attempts to pervert the Bibles of the world and eventually come up with a one-world Bible, we will always have God's pure Word on this planet. Now, it may be, and I'm convinced it has already begun, very dangerous for anyone to actually possess one of these true Bibles, the King James Bible, in the last days. Persecution will be the lot of the true Christian who adheres only to God's pure Word. I believe it will even become unlawful to sell or exchange the King James Bible, because Satan and his Antichrist in the last days will not want the world to have God's pure Word. But let's see what God says about this. He said in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Imagine. God, the Lord, will preserve His Word forever. And these conspiracies to pervert and pollute the Word of God should not surprise us, but it also should give us hope that God's Word is unconquerable. Now, why is God's Word so important? My friends, Kenneth Copeland, an evangelist who has been teaching the false doctrines of the Word of Faith movement, stated in his Voice of Victory magazine back in December 88 that doctrine is on its way out. He said, quote, "We as Christians are coming together in the unity of our faith, not our doctrines." He says, "You see, doctrine does not unify, it divides. That's why the Word of God," Mr. Copeland insisted, "doesn't say anything about us coming into the unity of our doctrines." Oh, really? Well, Mr. Copeland simply needs to read the Bible a little bit more. Because in John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, we read this. "Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God.'" Yes, the real Jesus emphasized the crucial importance of knowing Bible doctrine, of teaching it, keeping it pure and undefiled. Well, doctrine is important. And this is what the Bible incorporates. The very Word of God, the pure Word, preserved forever, for Jesus confronted the devil in the wilderness and said, "It is written." He didn't say, "It shall be written again and again and again," with new archaeological discoveries and false manuscripts popping up every which way. No, my friends, he simply said, "It is written." But the New Age has hopes of smashing the Word of God and bringing in a form of New Age Christianity. My good friend Will Barron, in his book, Deceived by the New Age, The Story of a New Age Priest, gave testimony to this. In his book, on pages 196 through 198, he talks about the New Age Christianity that his false Jesus, that's right, a spirit guide named Jesus, but really the devil, told him about. And he was brought into many different New Age churches and religious cults and groups, all of which claim to be some form of Christianity. He says, quote, one way for Christianity to make his new age more acceptable to Christians is to Christianize it. The conversion, he said, of the Lighted Way, that's one of the New Age churches that Will Barron attended. The conversion of the Lighted Way Church, he said, is an example of an attempt to cloak the New Age in a Christian disguise, thus making it more effective in influencing Christians. And then he said something very interesting. He said, when I was a New Age Christian, I had read those biblical passages that warned against false prophets and teachings. But, said Will, I never seriously considered that I was involved with them. Now, how was this possible, he said? My deception was possible, writes Will Barron, because I did not believe that the whole Bible should be understood just exactly as it is written. In other words, once Will Barron admitted or accepted the lie that the whole Bible should not be understood exactly as it is written, then every wind of evil doctrine was able to enter his life.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.